dragon.
Balls and wieners all the way, right?
I can't believe I gave my panties to a geek.
These things happen.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hello?
Hello?
Who is this?
Last guest!
It's the Last Cast, episode 7. And by the way, everybody, Guillermo del Toro is not directing this episode 7 either.
Topical.
Yeah, very good. It's Richie Favalero with you, and to my left, and in a circular fashion,
Mr. Manchuk with the Josh.
Yeah, to the Josh, to the J.
Christopher Coley.
Tim McLean.
You'll notice that we're missing
Mr. Jemmett.
Mr. Jemmett. He had other things that he had to do, but that's okay. He's with us in spirit.
As always.
It's a new year.
I missed you guys. It seems like it's been forever.
I know.
It feels like,
it really has. We took an extended Christmas / New Year's vacation from each other.
I haven't seen you guys since last year.
My God. You look grayer.
Yeah, I know I do.
Yeah, you do. I didn't want to say anything, but.
So, anything exciting happening in your lives since our last cast?
I'm moving. Yay.
Cool.
The missus and I are getting a new place, and I get to build a new nerd cave.
Yes.
That's what I'm super stoked about.
As long as there's going to be a man cave.
You put together the blueprints already?
Oh, the blueprints are like
hired the architect,
carbon dated and freaking triple stamped.
Have you bought enough Scotch Guard? That is the question.
No, I'm just going to use duct tape. We are maybe Canadian, maybe not. Who knows?
Are you going to do the bookcase that moves, and then you have the pole that goes to your cave? Or are you going to?
If I could, that would be awesome. Don't forget, I am married, so I would have to pass that
Batman
by the engineer first.
Nice. The engineer. Yeah.
Where's this
little
pole go?
Like the Matrix. I want one of those like little 2-foot-high trains that drives into the back.
Oh, like from like the silver living room. Spoons.
Yeah, silver spoon style.
Get a Mr. Rogers sweater for everyone who walks in.
So when's your move date?
The end of this month, February 1st.
I think I'm busy.
Yeah.
Everyone, I'm out of town.
Everyone seems to be busy.
Yeah.
You jerks.
Yeah. What about you, Chris? How's the last few weeks been for
it's
you?
It's good. I had a couple weeks off day job, so that was good. I immersed myself in my Christmas presents, and I did a lot of gaming. Bought myself a Wii U.
You did it.
Yeah, I did
it.
I bit the bullet. And the one thing – so – I need more friends to come over because it's not a single player experience. It's
I'm
player.
Busy.
It's basically just
No, I'm not necessarily that busy actually.
See, I'm gonna invite guys over to play video games and you're gonna say no. No, I'm working. What? Yeah. But all the games are designed to play sort of with you and somebody else doing different things or helping each other out. So one's using the screen, the other one's using a regular controller, and it's supposed to be this asymmetrical experience. But for me, it's just basically me sitting alone in my apartment.
Did you get Zombie U yet?
I didn't because I knew I didn't. I bought Wii. And it's new Super Mario Brothers U.
Okay.
I've been playing that in the last couple of days. The surprising thing is it's really hard.
I have heard that.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Which I love it. I love it. But I'm thinking, man, this is not going to sell a lot of units because I'm good at Mario. Like, that's my thing. I play every Mario game. And this one, some of the levels are taking me 10 tries, 12 tries.
So is it designed for co-op?
No, I don't think that would help. I think if anything, that would hinder because you have to like both people have to make it to the end.
Mm-hmm. Sort of that. Yeah, it's like it's a punch your buddy. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I've had a beer. I'm in punch mode again.
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
It's competitive, so I don't know. I don't know if that would help. But it doesn't matter because I bought New Super Mario 2 for 3DS, and you play the level, you clear the level, you go to the next, and it's still fun. It's a good experience, but I haven't had that. Frustrating, oh my God, I can't beat this level. Hey. I haven't had that in a while, and I'm enjoying it. It's good.
Right on. Tim, What about
not
you?
Much. Just chilled out over the Christmas break, all the the holidays, a lot of drinking, a lot of hanging out with the family.
The hell rock have you been hiding under?
I know, man. just disengage, man. Just decompress and disengage. Just doing the same thing, reading comic books, chilling out.
Yeah.
Boozing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Nothing
to anything.
Yeah, me too, really. I mean, I had to work a lot over the holidays, so I didn't get a ton of free time. But I did manage to pick up Superior Spider-Man #1 this week and read through it in like 15 minutes. And got to say, I kind of have a newfound appreciation Spider-Man franchise.
Don't tell me because I've got it, but I haven't read it. But I got the Spider-Man 700, and I read that.
Yeah.
And then the Avenging Spider-Man 15.1, which is the prelude to Superior Spider-Man.
I'm just going to say with Superior Spider-Man number one, they inject just enough really new cool stuff to not sort of get away from who Spider-Man is and
right.
what Spider-Man is mm-hmm. and what it's all about. But just enough new stuff to make it really interesting, and especially the ending makes me
anticipate. We talked about this. Last page, the last couple pages of each of the last Amazing Spider-Mans, and then the last page of like Superior Spider-Man, I was talking to my guys at the comic book shop. They're like, you're going to sit down when you read it. They're like,
yeah.
It'll screw you up for a bit, and then you come back in. It's like... A buddy of mine was telling me Superior. He was like, okay, I wasn't sure how I was going to adapt to it and then come into it, but it actually works out really nicely, and I'm on board.
Yeah. Are they messing with canon, though? Like, are they...
They flipped it on its head.
They sort of flipped it on its head.
Yeah.
They're staying true to... I can't give it away, really. Aww. There's so much that I want to say,
You guys know the story of... Should we talk about 700?
I haven't read either, but I listened to a couple podcasts on it, so I don't know what happened in 7 and what happened in 1.
Right.
Okay. So should we spoiler alert? Spoiler alerts.
Yeah, we'll spoil it.
Well, how about don't spoil Superior, but let's go ahead and spoil 700.
Because if you tell me anything about Superior, I will quit. I'll quit this job.
So what happens at the end of 700? How does Amazing Spider-Man end?
Tim,
Amazing Spider-Man 700 was the last episode of The Amazing Line.
Right.
Doc Ock has access to Peter Parker's mind.
Oh.
Doc Ock is dying. He's so much radiation, his body's deteriorating. He's going to die in a few days, essentially. Doc Ock has gotten access to Peter Parker's mind, so they do a brain switch. So Doc Ock has taken over Peter Parker's body. Peter Parker is now in Doc Ock's body, and Peter Parker is trying to get back into his own body before Doc Ock's body
sounds
dies.
Like
and
a
he dies.
Bad sitcom.
It's it's one of those sounds conventions like in comic books. It's like
Pinky and the Brain we'll episode right now.
And Peter goes, with great power comes great responsibility. You have to be a better man. You have people who love you. Mary Jane loves you. My Aunt May loves you. Like, you have to be a better man. He's like, I promise you, I will be a better man. I will follow on. I will try to be a good man. And Peter dies in Doc Ock's body. So now Doc Ock's...
Bottom line.
I'm not going to be just an Amazing Spider-Man. I'm going to be a Superior Spider-Man. Launch into Superior Spider-Man.
That is...
Doc Ock is Spider-Man.
Wow.
And Peter Parker
is... Peter Parker is Doc Ock.
Yeah, it's a comic book death. It's comic book death.
Yeah.
Dr. Octavius.
But there's
Parker.
This whole new approach in the new Superior Spider-Man where he's sort of trying to figure out, while dealing with the memories of Peter Parker, about how to be a hero rather than a villain. So it's really kind of cool. But anyway, that was my week.
At the end of the day with this, though, no fan is going to put up with the fact that it's Doc Ock and not Peter.
That sounds like a cop-out.
I actually choose to disagree.
Okay, I haven't read it.
I've read it.
Yeah, potentially. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. But just sitting here, I'm like, no, I'm not going to put up with that.
But that being said, we've had this discussion before. It's a comic book hero death. Right. It's like, just wait 6 months. Yeah, they're going to bring
Peter,
it back
Peter,
to him.
Peter Parker's memory will, you know, fight back and push the Doc Ock out. I mean, everybody knows it's going to happen.
Exactly, yeah.
But
it's just a matter
since
of
we know that that's going to happen, isn't Superior Spider-Man a bad title?
It's a terrible title, to tell you the truth. But...
Like, this is – it's new Coke classic Coke, right? Yeah. They're going to come back with the Amazing Spider-Man classic.
A lot of origination.
Yeah,
oh my
pretty
God.
Much.
It's alliteration.
That's awesome.
Much. The next line will be super casual fragilistic. Yeah. It's Galadocious Spider-Man.
All right, should we check out what's going on around the world today?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Now it's time for news today.
Yes, what's happening in the geek world today? Well, it's been going on for about a week now, but let's talk about Monopoly. Should we talk about Monopoly? Because they're doing something crazy on Facebook.
I don't know.
I saw this. This is awesome.
They are phasing out one of the classic tokens and making way for a new one. And here's the thing. Everybody gets to vote on which one gets the boot.
Oh,
no
okay.
pun intended, because the boot could get
probably
boot,
yeah.
technically. Everybody gets to vote on what the new one is. Let me lay it down for you. The old tokens, in case you don't remember, are the boot,
mm-hmm.
The top hat,
right.
the dog, the iron, the thimble, the destroyer.
Destroyer?
Yeah, the boat. The boat.
No, there was a wheelbarrow, and there was a top.
I haven't got there yet. The wheelbarrow is also one, and
I think
the race car.
The race car.
So these are the options that they have to get rid of.
I've never seen the Destroyer.
I've seen the Destroyer, but I thought it was in a special edition.
It's probably American, you Yankee bastard.
Well, don't call me a Yankee bastard.
I just think he lost a piece, and he took a piece from his battleship game and put it on his Monopoly.
Well, no, I've seen it. I know it exists, but I didn't realize that was an original piece. Yeah, so I think that's a good candidate to phase out since nobody cares about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, although I think that that's pretty cool. Honestly, the iron?
No, man, the thimble.
But what is the story behind the pieces thimble. That they chose for that? Was it just like the idea was like these are just things
you
find
I think they were all rags
house.
To riches. Yeah, you were either already rich or you were coming from
things
of the time. That's my take of it. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. They're probably very much things of the time when that game came out. Because if you look at the iron, like that was one of those irons you put on your stove.
And then
Well, if it were up to you guys, which one of those
battleship
pieces would you lose?
Done.
The battleship?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems a bit awkward.
The battleship, I've never seen it before, so I can't say. It could be an awesome piece.
It's not necessarily always a battleship, though. I think it's just a ship, right? But it was originally in sort of the shape of a battleship.
Yeah.
It's the thimble or the iron for me. Like, both of them are kind of like...
It's a bit archaic. Yeah.
They're meh.
Yeah, they're like... Well, the thimble you could use for a tiny
the
shot
thimble's
class,
pretty,
really.
Pretty lame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worst shot ever.
I think I would get rid of the iron. I think that's my pick. So here are the new recruits. Only one of which are going to become a new token in the standard Monopoly game. A helicopter.
Meh.
Nah.
No. A diamond ring.
Meh.
Even worse.
No. There's already a diamond ring on the board.
A kitty cat.
Meh.
Yeah.
A guitar.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And a robot with a mustache.
Robot.
So,
50-style robot, too. The square.
Yeah, a little metal, tin. Yeah.
He's you got to go with robot with a mustache.
And if this is on the internet, it's going to be the robot.
Yeah.
No one's going to vote for any of the other
guys. I kind of want kitty cat. I'm not going to lie. They got a dog. I kind of want cat.
They have a dog, so there should be a cat.
Yeah.
Should be a kitty cat
technically,
robot.
Technically, yeah.
Cat robot.
I would be okay with a cat. I would be okay with a robot with a mustache. But I'm really terrible at Monopoly anyway, so I don't know really how much
how
would I say.
How can you be bad at Monopoly? It's literally roll of the dice.
No way.
No, there's a
it's your strategy. No way. It's your strategy, and I think
I actually have a book on Monopoly strategy.
It's a really short book.
No, it's deep. I've read it. I've read it cover to cover.
It's a dissertation.
I've read it cover to cover. It is. It's almost like a dissertation. It breaks it down mathematically. There's all kinds of stats and probability laws that are involved in where things are likely to land and in the ratios between rent and property values. There's a lot going on.
Well, what's a major point from that book that you can share?
Illinois is the most landed on property.
Illinois Avenue.
Dark purple, right?
No, it's along the top. It's the dark red.
It's the regular red.
Well, right after you've come around
free
the
kids like
jails,
Boardwalk and Park Place, like if you can afford them, they're great, but they suck.
Early on in the game, the railroads are going to give you the most bang for your buck, but then later on, you want to put three houses up, at least three, not two or go for a hotel. Three gives you the highest ratio in almost all properties.
Huh.
Over a hotel.
I like that.
Ratio to what you pay versus what you get. So if you can afford it, always put the third house on.
The only edition of Monopoly that I own actually is the Muppets.
That's fine.
Yeah, so it's not even any of those tokens.
I've got
Fozzie the Bear and Kermit
the latest
the Frog
version of it is just it's a board and you put your iPad in the middle.
What?
That's not cool.
No, it's good. Because it keeps track of all your money. It keeps track of like the property values, and you don't have to worry about it.
So once again, though,
it's
like,
not the same as playing a board
nice
game,
about
right?
Having that tactile,
yeah,
like
absolutely.
Being the banker and
you still
getting
do,
the count
you still
out.
Move your piece around the
no,
board.
But
it
counting
just keeps
out
track
the
of
money.
Your money.
Yeah, no, but counting out. Like everyone had their own way of.
You want to have credit. You want to have the bills in your hand.
Yeah, I want to roll. I want to roll the dice, and I want to move my piece. But after that, the game can take care of it. As far as I'm concerned.
No. Wow. That's why, and you have some, that one person who's banker is like, do we trust this kid
I don't
being
even own,
banker?
Yeah.
How come he always
true,
has money? He's
true.
Never losing money.
What's 2 plus 2? 6?
Woohoo!
My God, he's got Baltic Avenue. What?
He should that's be it. Losing. He's got one property and it's terrible.
He's got a hotel on Baltic Avenue. First time
I don't. I don't even own an iPad, so I don't know why. If I had an iPad, I would have that.
Wow.
iPad.
Do you own a Monopoly? Josh?
No, I don't, but Richie just said Muppet iPad or
Monopoly.
Monopoly. Yeah. And I'm thinking that should be a bonus episode right there.
Yeah, maybe we should get together and play.
You got a Monopoly?
I at my parents' house, I own a couple, but I don't think I've ever brought them home.
I just got
so many. They have so many other board
games.
That
would be fun too.
I got the Simpsons Monopoly.
Yeah, that's got to be fun too. Yeah. That'd be like Muppets or Simpsons. Probably sounds like the best.
Yeah,
I have so many other board games. We were just talking about this. I don't think I would ever pull out Monopoly. I have so many other options, right? So that's why I never bothered bringing it back from my parents' place.
The classics. The classics are having a tough time these days.
Absolutely. So many good board games. I do play it every now and then. I'll pop it out on my phone, though, and play like a single-player Monopoly on the iPhone.
Yeah. Monopolies, though, is it's a good hour before it gets interesting, you know, because you got to keep going around, get the properties going, and then I would say after an hour is when the evilness out of everyone starts coming out.
We went crazy. When I was in high school, we used to play this. We had all kinds of weird rules where we could sell shares in our hotels to other people. So like some of the hotels would be owned by multiple people, and then we would split the rent based on the percentage. It was nuts.
Nice. Good Lord. That's too much Monopoly.
That's also the guy who did the game within the game of his role-playing, right? He's like, we'll also be high school students while we're superheroes. It's like, come on, man. Relax.
We obviously had way too much time.
While we're on the topic of evil...
Chris,
why are you looking at me?
There's not going to be a Death Star.
No.
We're not going to get a Death Star.
That was pretty pricey,
in seven?
Though. No.
Well,
in the world.
No, not at all.
The Obama thing. Yeah.
The online petition that was to have America build a Death Star. I mean, they had a great response.
From crazy people.
Well, they only reply to the ones that have the most response. And so do you really think that they were that crazy to suggest that America build a Death Star?
Look at the International Space Station. It looks like it's built out of Tinker Toys.
Yeah,
it's true.
To build a Death Star was $850 quadrillion. Mm-hmm. And on top of it, to get the minerals to make the metal, and the best thing we have is essentially titanium right now, we would have to mine the Earth until it was a hollow sphere. You would literally have to take everything out of the Earth.
That's why building a Death Star would be such a good idea. We'd have to come up with a new manufacturing process. We'd go and start mining asteroids for the materials.
There'd be so many jobs created.
You know what would happen? We'd finish the Death Star and then a scientist would come out and do the one thing no one ever wants to hear. It's like, I just did all the calculations and we're the only people in the universe. So you just built a Death Star for... blowing up your own planet. I appreciate the effort, but seriously, and I love nerds and they're great people, but when you're going that far, that's when you get to line them up in the row and just run down the street smacking them all in the face. Like, this is something dumb.
And you know they'd build it. There'd just be that one flaw. There'd be a 2-meter hole that you could shoot a
bullet. That was mentioned in the report. Why would we build something that was so obviously
flawed? It was the pizza delivery.
That's such an obvious design flaw.
My favorite quote
was
bigger
than a womp rat.
Was after quoting that it would take $80 quadrillion, was that we were trying our hardest to get out of debt and not to go further into it. So,
love the fact they responded to it. I do appreciate that they responded to it.
You have to. That's really cool.
Yeah, and I don't mind that kind of thing. It's sort of like the guys in England that put Jedi down as their religion, right? They recognize it and they put it, and a ton of people do it. I'm like, great, go for it. Like, you're not, you know, you're maybe, if the whole idea of that is to get funding for some other religion or some other school district, then you're, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But whatever. I appreciate that it's there.
Yeah. It was cool.
It was definitely a highlight in my week to see that regular news outlets
had the report on the Death Star. Yeah.
It would have been awesome to be a fly on the wall in the White House when Obama got that on his desk going, kid, that's rad, but those people are crazy.
Obama seems like a guy who would appreciate that kind of thing.
He's a comic book reader, man.
He probably would have cracked a beer and read that whole portfolio. It's going, they got a point there. They're crazy, but they got a point there.
We have no desire to blow up planets.
Yet.
Except for our own. Except for our own. All right. Speaking of evil...
Again?
How about the PlayStation 4?
Ooh.
What?
Have you guys heard the rumors?
No, I haven't.
I've seen
a bunch of stuff on the Xbox 720, but...
Let me tell you. The Xbox 720, I will get to that.
PlayStation 4.
Sony has been hinting that they're going to be holding an event in February to unveil the number 4, which some rumors are saying is going to be called... And I hate this, the PlayStation Orbis. What a stupid name.
Sounds like a dodo.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
The PlayStation Orbis finds the spot every time.
For her pleasure.
So, and they want to release it in early 2014 to compete with Xbox, who are planning to release their new model in the holiday season of this year.
None of that's been confirmed yet, though.
Not confirmed.
The speculation is it has to be this year because it's been so long, and the next – it's always November. So if they don't announce it within the next 2 months, then there's not enough time to prep it and get it, you know, sort of advertise it into the public consciousness for people to purchase it in October or November.
Right.
And if they miss that window, then it has to be the next – October, November. So if they don't legitimately start announcing something within the next few weeks, the window closes.
Well, the CES is going on right now, is it not? So I know it's not their bag, but they would have some kind of hint at CES right now.
Well, that's the thing. E3 is next in June.
It's too late, though.
And that's what what they're saying.
It's too late.
E3 is too late, and Sony is expected to make their announcement next month.
I don't trust Sony.
Here's my prediction. I think that PlayStation 4 will announce and 720 won't. I think that Xbox will let them have a year.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. I think they'll let them have a year. Just because...
That could be their downfall.
They're so far ahead, right? They're not really... Sales figures are actually fairly close. But they lost so much money by releasing... You know, with the Red Ring of Death last time. I think they really want to get that out of the way. Plus, releasing a year later... they can put in all the features that Sony's going to announce. They can they can fix up any of the sort of issues. They can sort of
fix up. Chris, though, Sony just stopped making the PlayStation 2. Just stopped making the
Still
PlayStation
a
2.
Great system, though.
It's an incredible
system. PlayStation 2 is the biggest selling system of all time, and no one will ever touch it because the market's so crowded right now.
Yeah.
We didn't even sell what the PlayStation 2
Xbox,
sold.
Xbox, I think, will wait because of the fact they're probably taking a hint from a lot of their game companies who are about to release a game, test it. It gets bad testing, and then they go, you know what? Let's just, we'll say BioShock 3. Yeah. Or Infinite. It's like that game should have been last October. It's not coming out until like April.
Here's the other thing. I don't think that either of them are ready. You say that if Xbox waits, then they're in trouble. But I think it's the opposite. I don't think either of them are ready. But I think Sony is dead if they don't get out before Xbox. So Sony's going to say, you know what? We're not ready, but neither are they. If we beat them in by a year, we stand a chance. Because let's face it, if Xbox and PlayStation come out in the same month, I'm not buying a PlayStation. Hands down.
Have you heard the rumor about what Sony's
you're an
talking
Xbox
about
guy,
for
though.
Games?
Yeah, but you're an Xbox but guy, I don't know. I think they're in trouble.
No, but have you heard the rumor of what Sony has actually put out what they're talking about for games right now for resale factor?
Yeah, I love it.
No,
I love it.
Locking
I'm all over it.
Locking it per console. You buy a game, it plays on your console. That's it. You cannot trade it into EB. Nothing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
You put it in
I'm
your
all
machine.
For, I'm all
it
for
reads
that,
a code.
Yeah.
It will not play in any other machine.
So long used
games. Game
if
market,
that happens, they are toast.
No.
They're already starting to buy iPhones and everything because they're realizing like you've got multi-million-dollar game corporations going, we're throwing our lawyers at you guys now. And their EB is starting to get really scared because they realized for the past 10 years they've made hundreds of millions of dollars off of game companies off of one cartridge.
Hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I'm all for that. But if PlayStation announces and Xbox doesn't, I'm going to buy a PlayStation. And then I'll buy an Xbox the next year. But if they both come out, I'm not going to buy it.
In terms of age, though, the PS3 compared to the Xbox 360, what is it?
Xbox 360 came out a year before. So they had a year head start in PlayStation 3.
I would say almost even more. I think the PlayStation 3 is almost.
It's always
two.
October, November. It was maybe. Yeah. It was maybe
360
14
came out like pretty quick, and PS3 took a while to come out.
No, it was either 13 or 14 months, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, while we're on the topic of fours.
Fours.
I'm doing extremely well with my segues this week.
Yeah, you are. You're on.
I don't know. We spoke of evil a lot.
Yeah.
Well,
and you actually championed the article, so that was good. So it all worked out.
That is not to say that this one doesn't have anything to do with evil, but it has especially a lot to do with the number four.
Oh.
And that is that Steven Spielberg this week announced that Jurassic Park 4 will be released on June 13th of 2014. Now, no word on the script yet and whether or not there are going to be dog, dinosaur, human hybrids.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, please, no.
Or how on earth they're going to get Sam Neill to return to that godforsaken island again. But I bet you right now.
Life will find a way.
Life will find a way. They are ironing out his red neckerchief as we speak. Mm.
I do like that Steven Spielberg is behind it. Unfortunately, there's no novels, though. Like, 1 and 2 were based on a novel. 3 was not based on a Crichton novel.
No,
and the first one that Spielberg didn't direct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. While we're talking about 3, to get us amped for Jurassic Park 4 in June, they're going to re-release Jurassic Park 3. 3D. In 3D later this
that
year.
Makes sense.
Jurassic Park 3 in 3D.
Yeah, not my favorite of the trilogy.
Is that
definitely
the one with
William H. Macy?
What?
Jurassic Park 1 in 3D, not 3 in 3D.
Yes, 3 in 3D.
No.
Is 3 the one with Macy?
Let me iPhone this.
He's going to Google it right now, but as far as I know, 3 is the one they are going to re-release in 3D later this year.
I'd rather watch 1 in 3D. The 1 is the best.
Yeah.
1 and 2 are
one
great.
Is the best. Yeah. One is
no
the
one's going to go see 3 in 3D.
No, who cares?
No. Dude, the stars of 3, I remember actually watching, this is dating me, the Dennis Miller show with Macy, William H. Macy showed up, and Miller looked at him and was like, so Jurassic Park 3, and Macy looked him in the face and said, fuck off, it was for a paycheck.
Like, oh, really?
The stars of the film were saying, I did it because it was a paycheck.
It is number 1. Yeah. That's cool. I'll
April,
see that.
April 5th, 2013.
Oh. April 5th, like as in only
like
a few months
from
now.
3 months away.
Yeah, a couple months from now.
Stoked.
Okay, well, that makes me feel much better because when I first read it, I was like, oh, okay, well, the third part, well, I guess that whole birdcage scene would be pretty cool in 3D, but and
nobody
maybe they chose
that 3.
Yeah,
nobody liked 3.
See, that's why I had such a hard time with it.
And the only reason that birdcage was good was because it was from the book, it was part 2 of the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. From the Lost World, the book, yeah.
Well, yeah. So then I will see the first part in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
Clever girl.
I remember seeing it the first time it came out in theaters and just being amazed. I'm like, holy shit, he did bring dinosaurs back to life. Mm-hmm. Look at this. This is phenomenal. Yeah.
You know what the best part of that movie for me was, though? The sound. That was the introduction of digital sound.
THS?
That's when DTS.
DTS. Yeah.
Like, sitting in the theater, I used to want to go just to listen to the sound trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even just the thump, and you see the cup vibrate with the... Oh,
dude.
So good.
We could go see it in D-Box seats. So when it happens and that thump happens, our seats would vibrate.
Cool.
What's D-Box?
It's the seats. There's specific seats in certain theaters that have a motion control vibrate.
Do we have those theaters where we live?
I think the one downtown where you can, it's the AVX theater. I think maybe some of those are D-Box.
Hmm. There's a new theater that came out with the new Dolby sound system that's 64 channels.
I heard that's actually
64 channels.
Almost too much.
64 channels. 8 speakers on the ceiling. 8 directional speakers on the ceiling.
I just peed
a little bit.
I know. Can you imagine? But it's already here. Like, one of the theaters in downtown has it.
It's not Paramount?
No.
I'm an audiophile.
Paramount maxes out at 7.1. There's only one that has, it's called Dolby Atmos or something like that. The number one theater in Paramount has the highest screen resolution and crispest picture,
has
but not
seen
the best
that
sound.
48 frames crap yet?
No. We didn't talk about that last time.
Yeah. Yeah. How did we not talk about it? You're the one that said that. How do we not talk about The Hobbit? I'm saying, nah. I'll watch it when all 3 come out.
Tell you how we didn't talk about The Hobbit. We didn't talk about The Hobbit because Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D killed it in its second week.
Yeah. How have we not seen that yet?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. But
see?
Oh,
God. I have a boner just saying that name.
I know, right? Anyway. You guys want to play a game?
Yes, please.
Always.
Beer?
Here we go.
Yeah.
Did you just say where you are? We're playing a game.
All right. Well, if you're pausing for
told everyone.
Pay attention. Get excited. The rules are pay attention. What? Get excited. That was almost good.
Sorry, what are the rules?
I wasn't paying attention.
Of course you weren't. All right, guys, welcome to Episode 7's game on The Last Cast. This game goes by the name Unfortunate Geek Stereotype or Indie Band Name.
Ooh.
All right. Here we go. And anybody can answer. In fact, I would appreciate it if everybody answered.
Team game.
All right. No, it's always a team game, right?
Yeah. Here we go. Team. Number one, Matt, Unfortunate Geek Stereotype or Indie Band Name, Pocket Protectors.
But we know that that's a
geek stereotype.
Geek stereotype. Yeah.
So however,
how has nobody turned that into a
also,
band?
Is it also
an indie band name?
Sure, why not?
I think that's a good indie band name.
I think
if
so.
It's not, I'm copywriting that right now. Yeah. We will
and
start
they,
that band.
They play that Game Boy music, right?
Yeah.
What's the term for that?
Like Onomatoguchi? Oh, 8-bit.
There's a name for the...
No, it is.
I'm not going to remember it.
Yeah, no.
Pocket Protectors is indeed an indie band. They are a dork rock band out of California.
Cool.
Is it an unfortunate geek stereotype or an indie band name? Social ineptitude.
That is just a geek stereotype.
No, that sounds like a really
band.
Good yeah,
sounds
band.
Like
that's
an indie
a goth
band.
Band.
Josh, you get it right.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Just an unfortunate stereotype. All right, here we go. Next up, Pizza Face. Is that a geek stereotype or an indie band name?
Both.
Or a character from Spaceballs.
Nah, I'm going to go with band name again.
You would be correct. It is also, along with being a geek stereotype, it is also a turbo thrash band.
Cool.
Yeah. How about Neckbeard? Unfortunate geek stereotype?
Yeah.
Or also indie band name?
I would say indie band name because I don't think that's a geek stereotype.
Not necessarily a geek. It's sort of like Pizza Face. It's not necessarily a geek stereotype, but it is definitely an unfortunate stereotype.
I would say
stereotype.
Neckbeard's like a wicked like metal band from Oregon.
Or really the guy with the neck beard.
Really.
Just kidding.
Terrible.
That's a very regular and very cool beard. Don't be mean.
Very terrible Starbucks regular.
So what's the general consensus on neckbeard?
I'm saying band.
Band?
I'm going to go with non-band. No.
Yeah, I'm saying stereotype.
Stereotype? Neckbeard is a psychedelic garage rock band.
I am over three.
Are they from freaking? Are they from
Oregon?
I'm
overthinking it.
We have to find them.
They could be. You'll be able to find them later.
Idiot box.
Okay. Next up, is it an unfortunate geek stereotype or an indie band name? Cheetos Fingers.
Both.
That's a geek stereotype. Chip rock.
Yeah,
by the way.
Go with both on that.
And Josh gets it again. Cheetos Fingers is just really an unfortunate stereotype.
Man. Josh is nailing this.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys are going to need background on this one, but the next entry in the contest is Swamp Ass.
Oh, I know what that is.
You know what Swamp Ass is?
Yeah.
For our listeners that don't understand, what is Swamp Ass, Josh?
I was a chef for 10 years. Swamp Ass is basically you work in a very hot area, and all of your sweat drips down your back into your underwear, and it just gets awesomely gross.
And it's been related to people who sit on the couch and play video games for a long time.
Swamp Ass would probably be another awesome band name. So I'm going to go for band.
Swamp Ass. What do you say,
Chris? Yeah, I like that as a band name as well.
Yeah,
I'm just saying it's going to be a geek stereotype. I'm just going to stay with that.
Swamp Ass is actually a crunk rock band.
I don't even know why I bother playing anymore.
They're out of Chuck Vegas, Illinois.
A crunk rock band?
That's my favorite so
crunk
far.
Crunk rock.
As a band name,
I'm
that's my
going,
favorite so
I'm
going
to go download one of their albums tonight just
Swamp
for that
ass.
Type
we'll put
of
it
music.
On the site.
Yeah.
Free shout out right there for you, Swamp Ass.
Swamp Ass.
All right.
We'll link to them.
Yeah. Next up, Chronic Masturbation. Is
that's
that
just truth.
An unfortunate geek stereotype, or is that an indie rock band name?
Well, I don't have a band, so...
It's an indie rap rock band name.
Nice.
Chronic Masturbation.
I should say, is it both? I guess that's where I...
I'm just going to say it's an indie rap group.
Chronic Masturbation, a rap group. Oh, yeah. That's good.
Because they rap about
chronic.
And they masturbate a lot. I like that, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to agree with Josh, mostly because he's doing a lot better.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick with Josh. So. Whatever Josh says.
Chronic Masturbation is, in fact, an e-grind band.
E-grind.
What is that?
No, that's like electric punk.
Oh.
Electronic punk.
Oh, is that like noise e-grind?
Well,
That's that weird music that's almost not music.
Yeah, sort of. They don't even go by the name Chronic Masturbation anymore, actually. They go by the name Sample Whore. Spell the S is a 5.
So they got girlfriends?
The E is a 3.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's a Chronic Masturbation. Then they met some chicks, some groupies. There you go.
There you go.
All right. How about Bacne?
Again, that's like pizza face. I don't know.
No, I'm going to say that's a nerd stereotype. Bacne is just, that's not cool enough for a band. That's just wrong.
Okay, what was Pizza Face?
Pizza Face was an awesome name for a band.
Was also a band? Yeah. So then I'm going to say, yes, this is also a band.
Bacne is a band.
Wow.
No, I haven't announced yet.
Oh.
What do you say?
I'm saying no.
No?
Yeah.
I'm saying whatever Josh says.
Okay, Tim. Josh. So Tim says no.
No.
And no, it is just a stereotype. Although, Chris, I'm going to give you half points because there is a song by Jane Lynch from the movie Another Cinderella Story that's called Baby Got Bacne. So that's half points.
Half point.
All right, last up on the list of whether or not it is an unfortunate geek stereotype or an indie band, Basement Dwellers.
Got to be a band.
Yeah,
that's like a wicked band name right there.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good band.
Playing Kid Icarus all day long.
In fact, that's the name of their number one song.
Not the 3DS version, though, because that was not good.
Oh, is it not good?
Basement Dwellers is a progressive rock band.
Prog rock.
You got it.
Nice. Yay.
Good job, guys. You guys actually did pretty good.
Yeah.
And when I say you guys, I mean Josh.
Yeah. But we play as a team, so yay. We did good.
Points to everyone.
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time.
Give me a stiff one, barkeep.
Would you? Would you just give me a stiff one? Would you give me one? You got one?
You've had enough, son.
He's waving empty bottles like a bunch of cowboys right now.
Yep.
Jesus. All right. Bebop has compiled the stiff ones for this episode. And, once again, we get very fancy.
Ooh, the printed ones.
For anybody who is uninitiated, this is the part of the show where we just ask, what if? And we don't know what these are going to be, so we're just going to read them right now. Just open from a crisp, clean envelope right here. This is the sound effect of a crisp, clean envelope. All right, number one. If it were up to you, for what movie would you have a sequel made? Tim, what do you think? Is there a movie out there that you think needs a sequel?
So we're saying sequel, not remake, and something that hasn't been done already.
Well, you know what? I'm thinking that maybe if you have a reboot that you might like to see rather than a sequel.
No.
But the question says sequel.
No, it says sequel. Let's do it. Okay, so sequel, but hasn't been done yet.
Yeah.
I've got it.
Or hasn't been done enough.
I've got the ultimate one.
Or hasn't been done right.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. Part 5,
can we redo
maybe
sequels? Oh, yeah, there's a lot, but...
I've got the ultimate
one.
Because, of course, everybody would say Star Wars 7.
No.
We're getting that.
Yeah, we get that.
Goonies 2.
Oh, fun!
That would be a great sequel to see
as adults.
Oh my god! I don't know if I can handle.
No, that'd be neat.
I don't know if I could.
This might actually be coming
Corey
out.
Corey Feldman.
I read this week. Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I don't know if they're rebooting it or making a sequel or potentially rebooting it, but as a sequel, like they did with Superman.
Right.
But yeah, Flight of the Navigator.
That movie was the shit back in the day. I liked that so much.
What about
Watch Your Language.
E.T.
Sorry.
E.T.
He comes back.
No.
Wow.
No.
The Reckoning.
E.T. comes back like...
I think Cloverfield actually was the sequel to E.T.
Yeah. See, that would be like... That was... Remember those people that picked him up? That was his parents. They're mad. You taught him some bad shit,
I was
shit,
trying
guys
to think of like superhero movies and stuff because there's ones... But they're all getting sequels anyways because Thor is getting Dark World, which is a terrible fucking title.
Wolverine 2 coming out soon.
The origin story is coming out. Captain America is getting the sequel, Winter Soldier. Boo. No, but that'll be good because Bucky comes back and he's all fucked up and he's evil, which is great.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they do the Winter Soldier story, it'll be great.
So, Josh, you're going to say Goonies?
I'm saying Goonies. Give me a sequel of Goonies,
I'll
be there.
I don't know. But Flight of the Navigator, I want to see now because it's in my head.
Howard the Duck.
Oh, I didn't like that movie.
Don't even.
No.
Don't even.
Howard the Duck was a good movie.
Thank you. I'll tell you guys why that was a good movie. Because when I was a kid, that was about the dirtiest movie that I was allowed to see.
He had a condom.
It was like our generation's version of Ted.
Yeah.
Okay, when we saw his kids... Did we see boobs when he was in that massage parlor?
I don't remember. I just remember the aliens at the end were so cool.
Those things gave me nightmares.
I got it. Adventures with Buckaroo Banzai. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Part 2. Adventures in the Ninth Dimension. I want to see that.
Tim, have you decided on one yet?
No, honestly, I really can't think of one. All the movies that I want to see sequels to they're getting made. So all the comic book movies.
Come on. Fair enough.
Man, you know what? Actually, The Amazing Spider-Man, I want to see the next chapter. And they'll make that. So.
What about like
Three?
Yeah, that was actually good. It was a good reboot of it.
No.
Comparatively, that doesn't count because it's already been greenlit and they're probably already writing the script.
They probably are.
Yeah, so that doesn't really count.
But the reason why they had to reboot it is because they already started filming that. Probably, yeah.
Because
if they didn't reboot it, then the rights would have gone back to Marvel, but Sony wanted to keep the rights. And the same thing with Fantastic Four. They're redoing that because if they don't, and I think Daredevil's getting one as well, they're doing a reboot because if they don't reboot it, the property goes back to Marvel, and Marvel wants to get
they can't do anything wrong because that first Daredevil movie was atrociously bad. So
it had its flaws.
Okay, Ben Affleck is
bad. But honestly, The Amazing Spider-Man, the reboot that they did of it, was actually – I really enjoyed it simply because they did show Peter Parker as a scientific genius, which is what he is, and he's supposed to be a smart scientific kid.
The lizard was terrible, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The lizard was terrible.
Haven't we said this before? They got to the part – Uncle Ben died. Dies, unforgivable. He didn't say the line. The number one most canonical line in all of comic book history, he paraphrased. After that, I couldn't get past it. I was so angry for the rest of the movie. And I know that's me being a huge geek, but that's what this is about. Once he dies, he paraphrases a line. I'm like, are you kidding me? Whoever made this movie didn't read the fucking comics?
I would be surprised though if it was like copyrighted.
This is a bit of a spoiler, but it doesn't matter. It's years from now. Uncle Ben is back in the next one, and I think they're going to get him to say it in the next one because they fucked it up so bad in the first one.
Well, it might be like that dream sequence that they did in the first three when the second one, we were sitting in the car with, he's like, Uncle Ben, I can't do this. I got to do this. He's like, I can't stop, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They might do the dream
sequence. But the way they did it in the first one, Uncle Ben had – there was no time in between him dying and Peter being Spider-Man for him to have – it's not like it was implied – anyway, it's not like it was implied that Uncle Ben might have known, but in this version of it, there's no way he could have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I did not like the movie.
Does anybody care about what my answer to the
question is? No, yeah, go ahead.
No, we care.
No, go ahead. What's yours?
It's going to be ridiculous, though. Like, really?
At this point. No, what is it?
Cannonball Run.
Ah!
There was two and three.
Yeah, no, they need to make a sequel to Cannonball Run.
Was there three?
Well, after Cannonball Run 2 was
Tokyo Drift.
Speed Zone, the one where the Lamborghini skips across the lake.
That was Speed Zone? I thought that was Cannonball Run 2, because was that not the one where
No, 2 is the one with Bigfoot.
That's
3. It's Cannonball Run 3 is the one with Bigfoot. 4 is Speed Zone. And then they didn't make another one after that.
Or then I change everything. You know what I love the Cannonball Run? Weekend at Bernie's 3.
Weekend at Bernie's 3.
with the guy still.
Yeah, the same guy.
The reason I love the Cannonball Run is because they were like that cartoon. What was that cartoon?
Yeah, Laugh Olympic.
It was that whole thing.
The race.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
No, it's tremendous. Tremendous. That's why they should make another.
Yeah, wow.
No.
Cannonball Run 2.
Taking your beer away
Buckaroo
from you.
All right, give me that back. All right, next stiff-if is, if you were stranded on a desert island with only one material with you, what would it be? I'm guessing an unending supply of one.
Something we can build with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
That's that new silk that they've bred those goats with. That's like spider silk that comes out of their milk.
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, where'd you go?
Oh, of course.
I watched that.
I'm not lying.
Goats poop out spider silk.
They milk spider out goats. Out of their milk. They've bred them with the genetic DNA of spiders. It's out of their milk.
Yeah, it's out of the milk.
Yeah. So out of their milk comes a silk fiber that's stronger than steel. So when you weave it together, that you literally can make a piece of thread that has a tensile strength of like titanium.
Why have I not heard about this yet?
Because I'm nerdier than you, bitch.
Google it. Spider goats.
Yeah, spider goats.
Spider goats.
That's weird. See, you can start weaving stuff.
I like
stuff.
It. People are pissed about it. They're like, because this is, you know, this is science fiction taken to the extreme. They put insect DNA into a goat and it worked. The goats are producing webs.
And what do you think think the first thing they're making with it is?
Weapons.
Body armor.
Oh, body
that makes
armor.
Sense.
Yeah. They've already made some where it's just like you can move with it and you can shoot someone with a 9mm who's wearing a t-shirt and they're like, ha, ha, ha,
punk. Oh my God, it's Superman.
Yeah.
Wow, it's not bad.
I was just going to say wood. And I'll just build a boat.
So did I just ruin it? Did I just ruin it?
Build a boat.
Oh, wood. Well, I saw an episode of Mythbusters recently and they had duct tape.
Duct tape.
Oh.
And they did quite a lot of stuff with duct tape. They made shoes. They made fishing lines. Good they idea. Made. They pretty much did everything with it.
Yeah.
I would take duct tape for sure. I mean, you know.
Are there hostiles
or a spider on the island? Goat. If I could find a spider goat somewhere, yeah. I would take it.
Is this like the island from Arrow? Am I going to be in big trouble living on the island with just duct tape?
It's an island. You're stranded.
Gotta fight off a chicken here and there.
Gotta fight off a chicken.
Make a radio out of a coconut. You're fine.
I feel I would end up eating the spider goat though.
I think I got enough webs.
At which point,
I smoke curry.
Maybe I would actually at that point milk out some.
Tastes a bit stringy.
Hey, but you know what? You can have your milk in the morning and floss,
and then floss with some web.
Oh man. Okay, moving on. If you had to choose one, would you rather be a red shirt on Star Trek or a narcoleptic on Elm Street?
Ooh.
Either way, it sounds like you're going to be dead.
I don't know. You might have a chance as a narcoleptic on Elm Street. Yeah, you could fight back and find a way to.
I'm going
to
go with Tim on that.
Dream child, dream warrior. You can do it. You can get out.
Yeah, but then he's going to come back 20 years later and kill all your kids.
And you're
all. That's the kids, man. I get out. It's got free. Screw them. It's their fault, man.
Fall asleep and dream you're Freddy. He's got to fight himself. Who's going to win?
Jason beat him.
Jason.
Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah, Jason did, though, because Freddy did wink at us at the end of it, so he's still technically.
But he was still just a head.
He's grown from worse. A dog peed on him and his bones grew.
There was a meme that George Takei put out recently, and it says, like, if you understand this joke, and it's Captain Kirk, and there's a bunch of red shirts, and at the bottom says, this is going to be a bloodbath.
So you guys are going with narcoleptic, you're going with narcoleptic?
Yeah, I think you got a shot.
No, I want to live in the Star Trek universe, even just for a brief period. At least I've lived whatever I've lived.
Yeah. At least I got to explore the cosmos. And
it's true,
I was on an away party.
Sex with a green lady.
For what some about? Reason, I maybe I have a phaser. They never have phasers, do they?
No, they don't. They only their red shirt.
That's their only.
Can
weapon.
I get a gun? No, you have the red shirt
and a target on the back.
Let's go super meta.
Can I get a gun and a blue shirt?
What about a red shirt narcoleptic on the holodeck on Elm Street?
Speaking
of holodecks,
you're just trying to blow our minds right now.
Speaking of holodecks, have we seen Illumiroom?
Oh, yes, I have seen that.
We are one step closer.
Did I may or may not have. Messed my pants a little bit when I saw that.
What is Illumiroom?
I'm going to tell you right now that I'm not a fan.
Why?
The beginning part, I enjoyed where it shows like gun flashes going up the walls.
Yeah,
stuff
that
like
stuff
that.
Is awesome.
As soon as you see everything in your periphery on the walls projected around you, that's when all of a sudden it stopped. I lose interest.
I'm with you on that.
I see what you're saying. But did you see the part where instead of projecting images, they just projected like a muzzle flash, or like when it exploded, they reprojected your own room, but it vibrated.
Okay, so for those of the listeners who don't know what it is, and like myself, what is this exactly?
It's like an Xbox.
Microsoft proposed sort of hardware where there's a camera, and if in a dark room, it's basically like you're playing in a theater, but they're projecting not just the screen. So you're playing on a screen, but then around the screen, they're also projecting more images.
It's like video games for the fourth dimension.
Yeah,
like
it's basically fully surrounded, but without glasses.
Okay,
just what everybody wants.
Nothing,
right?
3D
with no glasses.
Crazy, but like remember, like when we all first saw Saving Private Ryan, and it felt like those tracers were coming at you.
Yeah,
think of that if it actually they could kind of do it where it came down the wall of your nice. Game room, right?
Neat.
So
yeah, okay. So like if there was a guy in the upper right hand side of your screen and you shot him in the head, then you would see blood splatter up your wall.
Yeah.
All right, neat.
In the corner. That sort of thing.
Not super like full blown holodeck, but it is enough where it's like it just adds that like that fourth element to where you're like
it's gonna be way too expensive and
I'm in.
Of course you're in. Well, I'll come to your house then to try it out.
I'll help him pay for it so we can be like, yay.
All right, guys, for the first time ever, we're actually going to set up what we're going to do next episode.
Uh-oh.
And here's here's the thing. Yeah, you guys all have homework this week.
Sweet.
And we'll relay it to Matt Jemmett. And it was a post on our Facebook page, and that was on Saturday night. It was Saturday night.
Saturday.
Pan-galactic gargle blasters all around. Who has read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys read it?
Yeah.
Everyone's read it, right?
A while ago, yeah.
It's great. It's one of my favorite books. In fact, the whole series, Douglas Adams, so great. I love it. I could read it a million times.
There's sequels by another author.
Yes.
Yes, they did. Do
Terry
Brooks.
Starship Titanic.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Because it's only the five that were written by him, right?
I think it's four.
Yes. Five.
Five.
Was it five?
I think so.
Because you can buy, I've actually got the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a trilogy in four parts, and then the fifth part is the Maybe Fish? No.
So Long as There's Still the Fish.
No.
Restaurant at the End of the Universe?
No. That's a second
part. Yeah, Mostly Harmless, I think, was the...
Mostly Harmless?
Yeah. I think So Long and Thanks for All the Fish was the
fish. We'll figure it out by next time. Anyways, go on.
Anyway. So here's the thing. It got me thinking, Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster. It sounds like something that maybe we should be on top of. And for anybody who needs their mind refreshed, is a drink from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, invented by Zavod Beeblebrox. And they say it's like having your brain smashed out by a slice of lemon wrapped around a large gold brick.
Yeah, that does not sound tempting.
Wait a minute.
Oh?
It's also been described in the novel as the alcoholic equivalent to a mugging. Expensive and bad for the head. Now, here's the recipe from the book. Okay. You take the juice from one bottle of the old jank spirit. You pour into it one measure of water from the seeds of Santragonus 5. Allow 3 cubes of Arcturan Mega Gin to melt into the mixture. Must be properly iced or the benzene is lost. Allow 4 liters of Thalian marsh gas to bubble through it. Over the back of a silver spoon, float a measure of Calactin Hypermint extract. Drop in the tooth of an Algolian sun tiger. Sprinkle Zamphior. Add an olive. Drink, but very carefully. That's crazy. I mean, you can't get those ingredients here on Earth. However, I want you guys
to come with a close approximation.
To come up with an Earth equivalent. So create your recipe.
Gonna have to
for the Pan Galactic Gargle Blaster. Bring it in next cast, whatever, in a Tupperware, a mason jar, a protection grid style containment unit, whatever you guys got to use to bring it in. Bring it in, and we'll have a group taste test.
Oh, we're going to get right liquored up.
That's we'll got to be made on site.
Well, maybe you can make yours on site.
You have to bring in all your ingredients. Then.
No, I'm just going to make mine in a container and bring it in and shake it up over ice.
And then drop in a tooth or two.
Figure it out.
Yeah. That's it. And then based on everybody's feedback, we'll grade everybody and we'll dub somebody the winner of the the first annual Last Cast on Earth Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster Contest.
Love it.
Nice.
All right.
We're in.
That's your homework, guys.
Yay.
All right. For everybody else, if you got a stiff F, let us know on Facebook. We are The Last Cast on Twitter at @the_last_cast. Of course, if you just go to our website, thelastcast.ca, not only can you hook up with all of our podcasts, you can also find out all of our Twitter and Facebook information as well. That's it for me, Richie Favolaro, and
Josh Manchuk,
Christopher Cohen,
Tim McLean,
Matt Jemmett.
Ooh.
Okay, bye.
Can I leave now?
Well, that was really horrible.
Watch for another episode soon of
The Last Cast.
Can we go home now?